hear ya.
All right. Hey, everybody.
You probably just hear me.
No, I'm saying here on the mic.
I'm still going to use the microphone, even though there's not many of you here. So, welcome to this panel, What is Furry? I would imagine that probably most people who are here already know what furry is. If you don't know, then you're probably somebody's parent. Yeah. Looking at you guys. If you are somebody's parent, you're here, I want to thank you for being supportive of your kids. Sincerely. Because I think a lot of furries will tell you that their parents are not supportive of this whatsoever. So having supportive parents in this fandom, very, very, very appreciated. So on behalf of your children who will grow up to thank you already. So I believe most people know me by now. My name's Drain. I'm the con chair of this organization and this convention. That basically means I'm the shot caller. And if you've been at a panel that I've run before, then you know that my usual style is to plan to make a presentation and then to not have time. So I didn't have time to make a presentation. So instead, you're going to stare at our awesome logo. So this was going to be a presentation. I was going to show slides. I was going to talk. And because I didn't have time to put that together, instead, this is going to be kind of a dialogue. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what is furry. And then Ultra here is going to talk on the same topic. And then I'm going to, once we have said our piece, invite anyone who would like to say what furry is to them to grab the mic and let us know your thoughts. Yay. How does that sound? Is that good? Cool. So, what is this? That is a question that members of this community have been honestly struggling to answer for decades, because telling people who aren't in the fandom what the fandom is really, really difficult. It's hard to understand what it means and how important to someone's life it can be if it isn't important to your life. It's kind of like how, you know, if I said, explain to someone what true love is. You can't really do it. It's something that you know here and not here. But I'm going to do my best. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a panel. Otherwise, I'd just shrug my shoulders and be like, whatever. So, the best description, and again, I'm making this up as I go along, so please bear with me. I have a tendency to pause as I speak when I think. The best description that I can come up with for what is furry is self-expression through character creation. That's how I've best been able to define it. So, backstory, human beings for tens of thousands of years have been using animals and the characteristics that animals express to tell stories. We all know that certain animals have certain stereotypes associated with them, different mentalities. Foxes are sly and cunning. You know, wolves are nasty and like eating people. Rabbits like carrots.
Cats mice are like majestic. Cheese. Cats are majestic.
Cats are luxurious and majestic. Like we have, you know, you're not going to see a cat character in a TV show or a movie where the cat's a slob, for the most part. You know, cats are seen as being very lithe, very graceful, very good on their feet, pretty soft-spoken, a little temperamental. As a dog furry, cats are temperamental. Furrydelphia is run by dog furries, by the way.
Not
so, but... we've been doing this. I mean, we have cave art of stick men with animal heads. If you look at pretty much every mythology you can find from thousands of years ago, there's human beings with animal heads or animal body parts that we use to express traits. And so a lot of people who do these panels are a lot older than I am, and they've been around through more of the fandom than I've been. I believe, and I'm getting off topic here a little bit, but I believe that there's two moments in a person's life that define them as a furry. A subconscious moment and a conscious moment. That's what I think. I don't have any scientific data to back that up, but from talking to people, that's kind of how I've put it together. Basically, there's something that happens early on that makes you open to the idea of defining yourself as an animal. And then there's something that actually throws you into the fandom. Usually it involves another person that you know. For me, the first one was a video game series called Sly Cooper. Sly was my first crush before I knew what a crush even was. I know. I think the word you're looking for is pathetic. But, so there's that kind of thing, especially nowadays where so many of our cartoons and so many of our movies and so much of our media is defined with animal characters. This all started, by the way, because animal expressions were easier to draw than humans. If you want to know why, like, all of the animation from years and years and years ago is all animals, it's because it's easier to draw an animal face than a human face, literally. But so much of our media is about animals behaving like we do, and there's something really fascinating about that. When you see an animal up on two legs walking around, how does their feral animalistic nature impact how they talk, how they walk, what their, you know, mentalities are, what their beliefs are, their mannerisms? It's really fascinating. It's incredible to look at. And I think it affects us subconsciously more than we realize. And so, for me, the second moment, so that was, I was very young. I was like 9, 10, 11 years old when my parents bought me this game because they thought it had a cute animal character on it, so they thought it would be good for kids. And I think that really made me receptive. Someone's calling for my help. They're going to have to wait. I think that's what really made me receptive to this idea. And then, fast forward to me as a 15-year-old high school freshman, I had a friend in art class who just was drawing the most incredible characters. And it blew me away that she had so much artistic ability that she did. And I was like, that's really incredible. How, like, what led you to draw this, like, instead of people? And she said, well, there's this whole group. There's this whole fandom of people doing this. And so she directed me to a couple websites, and I just started browsing through artwork, reading stories, reading through forum posts of people talking about this. I'm like, wow, this is really incredible. And we've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years without really realizing it, I think, because we as humans struggle with some of the most basic questions that we could possibly ask. Things like, who am I? Who do I want to be? And we don't get to choose a lot of things about ourselves. Almost nothing. We almost get to choose nothing about ourselves. We don't get to choose how tall we are, or for the most part, what our physical build is, or whether we're male or female born at birth, or what skin color we are, or what country we're born into, or even what our name is. These things that affect us for our entire lives are given to us by chance, and we don't get. We, as humans in the society we have, we don't get to define those. It's not like we say, well, we're just going to call this baby baby until the baby's old enough to tell us what name it wants. You get a name, and that's just you. That's just your identity, and it's given to you. And, you know, some people can struggle with that, you know? I can tell you right now that if you had given me the opportunity to pick what my first name is, I would not have picked what my name is. I would not have picked that. But, you know, I probably wouldn't have picked to have red hair. I got picked on a lot in school for having red hair. I had an injury very early on when I was a kid. I had a seizure when I was a kid, out of nowhere. I'm not epileptic or anything like that. I've never had another seizure again in my life. I'm running a panel right now.
Yeah. This is ComChair Live.
Yes. I don't know. Figure it out. I'm on stage. Everyone can hear you right now, by the way. The general manager says hello. And now the general manager says goodbye. Figure it out. You're an adult. You're capable. Bye.
I had to answer or else they would not stop calling me. But, you know, yeah, so, and the result of that injury is that I walk with a limp. If you see me walking around, I walk kind of funny. I'm not hurt. I barely even notice that it happens until I catch a video of myself walking around this convention. I'm like, oh my god, I walk so weird. But it's whatever. But it's whatever to me because it doesn't define who I am to me, but it, whether or not I like it, it defines who I am to other people. And I don't get to choose that because that's one of the first things that people often notice about me. Is that I walk strangely, and nothing that I ever do is ever going to fix that. That's something I live with forever. So, I'm going on and on, but my point is, what furry is the opportunity to walk into a space where every single person has completely redefined everything about themselves, and the opportunity to do the same thing. And so, we use animals to do that. My character is a wolf. And as an adult male who works white collar, this is sometimes weird to talk about. Because it dawns on me that it's kind of weird that a 27-year-old male who works in construction management would have a wolf character. But wolves are pack animals. They're at their best when they're surrounded by their family, and that defines me to a T. Wolves are fierce and passionate. And that defines me. Anyone, if I said, yeah, I'm drained and I'm fierce and passionate, everyone who knows me would be like, yeah. Fierce and passionate for sure. I have a temper. It's one of my shortcomings. I have no problem talking to you guys about my shortcomings. I have a temper. I've worked on it. I'm a lot better now than I used to be. When I was a kid, oh my god, that's my mother. My mother would roast me all day if she could about what a nasty kid I was. But I chose my animal because it defines me and because I resonate with what it is. I chose a new name to go by, something that spoke to me. And until I start talking about myself, people don't know anything about who I am or where I came from or all these traits. They see me, They see that I'm a guy with red hair. I'm a 27-year-old male. I walk funny. I'm 5'8", unfortunately. I'd love to be 6', but all those jeans went to my brother. But, you know, canonically speaking, my character is 6'4". I'm not 6'4". Never will be. My character is pretty physically fit because that's what I idealize for myself. That's an inspiration to me. I've been working out now. I've been working on my personal image, and that's kind of a way to like balance myself and see this is what I aspire to. This is a perfect image of me if I was perfect, and I'll never get there. I'll never get to a point where I'm perfect in my own eyes. I don't think any of us will be. If you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm perfect, then bad news, you're probably an asshole.
Or a cat.
Or a cat. Same thing.
Wow.
But what furry is, to me, is a chance to tell people who I am to me, not based on how I look or where I was born, but what I choose to be. And it's one of, if not the only community I have ever found that when you tell them what you are, they just straight up accept it. No questions asked. If you are gay, or bisexual, or lesbian, if you are transgender, if you have no freaking idea what gender you are, whatever religion you hold, or if you hold no religion, or if you have no idea what you believe in, I've heard some people come at me with some pretty crazy religions that they believe. Some of them self-taught, but you know what? Everyone just shrugs. They're like, cool, that's who you are, that's awesome. And unless you're something that we generally do not jive with, such as a racist or a bigot, we will, by and large, accept whatever you define yourself as. And that's really unique. Because if you walk into pretty much anywhere with normal human adults and say, hi, I identify as a wolf character, they'd be like, wow, I'm not going to talk to you. You're a weirdo. But, and you know, on face value, it can look pretty weird. It's weird. Sure, it's weird. I'll define it. I'll say that right now. 27-year-old male wolf character. Weird. But who wants to be normal anyway? You know what I mean? Like, normal people are miserable. You notice that? Unless they're rich. And even then, some of those are miserable, too.
That is what I was about to say.
So, I've been talking for about 20 minutes. I definitely feel like I have more to say, but I want to give Ultra a chance to chime in here while I collect more of my thoughts.
Well, hello everybody. For those of you who don't know me real quick, I'm Ultra. I'm Drain's chief of staff. It's my job to keep him sane and make sure he doesn't murder the rest of his staff. And he is an amazing person. So to start real quick, I want everybody to close your eyes just for a moment. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and if you agree with any of these, I want you to raise your hand and keep your hand raised. If you've ever been bullied for anything, raise your hand. If you ever felt like you didn't belong, raise your hand and keep it raised. If you ever felt like you wanted to change anything about yourself, raise your hand and keep it raised. I want everyone to open your eyes and look around the room. Oh, yeah. This, right here, part of the reason that we become furries is because we look for a community where we belong, and we found it, right? Because everybody in this room, I think, would agree that furry is a family. Unless you are literally a racist or a bigot, we, like Frank said, we will pretty much accept you. For your good, your bad, your ugly, we will celebrate your success and we will cry with you when you are sad. You know, I haven't been a furry as long as Drain. I was a DJ and a pup first, and I became a furry at AnthroCon after my first DJ set there. When, after my set, a bunch of furries came up and said, well, you're a furry now, and I'm like, huh? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, well, you know, you came to this, and you know how to DJ, and you like music, and we like art, so you're at Burry now. And I was like, sure. And then I left with a Burzu. So that happened. You know, I tell that story because part of the reason I became a Burry was really, I felt really accepted. Like, nobody... It's... Look, you know, I'll be honest, I have had a chronic illness since I was a kid, similar to Drain, and I've never really felt like I belonged, and despite all of the things that I've wanted to do, a lot of times, I haven't been able to. But when it comes to my character, my persona, Ultra, who matches my hair, which I'm very, very proud of, thank you, I appreciate that. To me, this fandom has taken me in with open arms and given me a support system when I didn't have one. You know, there was definitely a time, 2 to 3 years ago, before I joined the fandom, right around the time I joined actually, where I was very, very, very depressed, and I didn't really have anything to kind of look forward to, and I felt like I was alone. And then one of my very close friends brought me to Anthrocon. And I said, what the hell is an Anthrocon? Yeah. And they took me, and I walked in, and I saw a bunch of people in fursuits, and I was like, oh my god, where am I? And I brought my brother with me, and I remember, and I always tell this story because it kind of encompasses our journey in a lot of ways, we went to the marketplace for the first time. Now, unbeknownst to us, we did not know calling another furry, furry trash was a term of endearment, and we are both very, very, very protective people. So we walked into the market, and we saw a bunch of furries calling this one furry, furry trash. And my brother, without thinking, ran over and was like, hey, guys, it's not okay to do that. It's not cool. You shouldn't do that. And these two very, very nice furries calmly explained that this was a term of endearment and that it was a term of love. And we kind of paused. It didn't make sense at the time. But looking back on it now, having been a furry for 2 years, it's very clear that you can say that to each other with your friends because you're a family. Furry to me is what you make of it, right? There is no right or wrong way to do furry. There is no expected norm for furries. If you're super into art, we have a place for you. If you're super into music, you can find that. If you love tabletop RPGs, then you definitely can find that. Realistically, if it exists in the medium of the world, there is a subculture of furry for it. You know, oftentimes you'll hear people say that you must be X to be furry, or furry must be this. And I couldn't disagree more, because in my opinion, furry is what you make of it. You know, and it's at your own pace. Some people become a furry and they go 150,000% and they get a fursuit right away and they're running around doing social media. And some people go very, very slowly. And I think that the ultimate takeaway for me is that no matter what you make of furry, it's ever evolving. You know, if you look at Stripes, who's back there in the blue, which is my best friend, you know, he has been working on that fursuit that he's been trying to make for a while that's finally done. And Stripes brought me in and we met, and the way we met was very simple. We met on an online chat room because we were both up at 4 a.m. because we're insomniacs, because apparently sleep is overrated. And we started talking, and Stripes and I, on paper, couldn't be more different. Stripes is super religious. I don't really believe in religion. Stripes is super into, like, cinematography. I can't stand the movies. Like, we could not be more different in things that we like. But despite all of that, he has been my rock, my support, my best friend through everything, and you know, he's the one who helped fix this head. So I tell that story because realistically, furry, it's, you get so much out of it. Like, especially when parents support their kids, because one of the things I've seen, like when I told my parents that I was an anthropomorphic dog who had a fursuit, they more or less were like, okay, well, we're just never going to talk about this again. Chunk has gone up to just put this aside in the box, and we have like a don't talk about it policy. You know, they, and for purposes, they're much more accepting now. They've come around. But unfortunately, there are a lot of kids who tell their parents that they're furries, and they aren't exactly encouraged. In fact, they're kind of told to put it in a box and not explore it. This fandom is an avenue for so many things. There's avenues for scientific exploration and learning. There's avenues for artists. Really, it's all about supporting each other. And I think that everybody in this room has a story about some furry they know that has been a support to them in some capacity in their life, probably multiple.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, and sure, we give each other grief, like, you know, dogs and cats and all these things. We have things that we say to each other, but at the end of the day, we protect our own and we love each other. And I think that everybody, more or less, has some furry in them. I just think they need to find it. And Drain, being one of my best friends, you know, brought me into the con to work for Furryopia. And I'm incredibly happy to put this on, because seeing all the smiling faces just reaffirms that it's not so much what is furry, but who is furry. Because in its own sense, there really isn't an answer to what it is, because it's whatever you want it to be. And I think that's kind of where it is.
Couldn't agree more. I thought of a couple more things I wanted to say in regards to some stuff that you just said jogging my train of thought. And then I'm going to see if we can get some audience participation here.
When we do audience participation, if people could just raise their hand if they want to talk, and I will run the mic to you.
I also guarantee we're not going to get to everybody, so we'll do our best here. So a couple things like that I just wanted to comment in regards to what you said about coming to AnthroCon and leaving a furry. Joining the fandom is really one of two things. It's either a slide or a dive. And for me, it was a dive. And for you, it was a dive as well. My favorite stories are the slides. And so, like, I've heard stories where people are like, so my friend brought me to a convention. I have this whole friend group, and they all went to this event. And I was like, sure, I'll go along with them, because otherwise I don't have anyone to hang out with this weekend. So I went along, and, you know, it's kind of weird. Everyone's kind of weird here. There's a really big LGBT presence, and as a straight guy, I don't really know how I feel about that, you know, me being here, but it's pretty cool, I guess. And then it becomes, well, you know, everyone else here has a character, and they keep asking me what my character is, and I don't feel like keep saying I don't have one, I'm not a furry. So I guess I'll just make up a name for myself, and I guess I'll just make a character. I mean, I'm not a furry, but everyone keeps asking me, so I'll just say I'm a dog, because it's easier to say I'm a dog than to say I'm nothing. So now you have a character, and now you have a name, and then someone's like, we should commission you artwork, and you're like, well, everyone else has a badge around their neck, so I guess I should commission something like that too, and before you know it, 3 years have gone by, and you're buying your fourth fursuit. That's the slide. There comes a point where you look in the mirror and you go, oh no, I'm a furry. Or it's a dive. So that's you know, funny acknowledgement. In regards to furry trash, the one thing that's great about that is that the best way to, like, diffuse people who are making fun of you is to just kind of jump right in that. And so, like, the internet is very cruel to furries all the time. We are the butt of everybody's joke, and it's okay. And we make ourselves the butt of the jokes as well. So people are like, ew, furries are gross. And we're like, yeah, they are. We're disgusting. It's just kind of what you do, you know? Because then when people say it, it's like they're just backing you up, you know? People are like, furries are weird, furries are gross, furries are this and that and everything else. And you're just like, yeah, you're right. And we love it that way. You know, I see people walking by who are like posing like this with trash cans. Like, just met this really cool fursuiter, guys, and they're standing next to a trash can. Like, it's the joke, you know? I want to say that, man, someone sounds like they're having fun up there. I want to say that one thing I've heard other people say is that furry, and it's really true, which is why I'll reiterate it, is that furry is really One of the, if not the only fandom that has no basis in any kind of enterprise that was set up by other people,
yep.
Right? Or by, there's no person in charge of furries, right? So, yeah, I can imagine. Ultra said, can you imagine? I said, yeah, I can imagine, because that's how every single other fandom is. If you look at the Star Wars fandom, which there's Star Wars conventions, there's people who cosplay as Star Wars, and sure, they make their own characters, they make their own stuff, right? But they're like, you know, they'll come out, I'm a huge Star Wars dork, so they'll come out and they'll be like, yeah, my character's a Wookiee. He's from the planet Kashyyyk, and he's a Jedi. And you know what? That's awesome. You just made up all that stuff about yourself. That's super cool. But at the end of the day, this guy named George Lucas invented Jedis, Wookiees, and Kashyyyks. Right? So, yeah, plural. You know what I mean? Like, Star Trek. There's a huge Star Trek fandom. There's conventions. We've all seen it. People go around dressed in the uniforms, and no matter what, no matter what Star Trek show you think is great, if you disagree with me that it's Next Generation, then you're wrong, but whatever. But, right, it was made by this person named Gene Roddenberry, right? Like, every other fan you can look at, there's, like, a guy or guys. It's always men. But, you know, there's people behind it. And it's like, we are the people that started this thing. And we are the people in charge of this thing. And at the end of the day, you know, when George Lucas says, this is canon, this is not, that's the end of it, right? Meanwhile, over at the furries, you know, you walk out, some person, I won't go into details with who, everyone who already is a furry knows, invented this species called the Dutch Angel Dragon. It did not exist. It was nothing, all right? This one person was like, walked into furries, made a fursuit, and was like, I'm a very specific species called Dutch Angel Dragon. And everyone was like, cool, can I make one of those? And they were like, sure. And now it's a whole thing. Now it's a whole species. Mm-hmm. Just like wolves and cats and dogs and Dutch Angel Dragons, and someone just made it up, and the whole fandom was like, yeah, that's cool, we're into that.
Also Surgles.
Surgles too. Although I think Surgles are of a background in like a video game or something like that.
Forget it.
Or an anime. I don't remember.
Chronogen.
Huh? Yeah, cheese wedge. No. Surgles are weird. Surgle furries. But we're the only fandom where there's no base. There's no, like, rules as to, you know, you're following it or you're not. Like, Star Wars people will read off the rules. You know, if you make, okay, my fellow Star Wars fans will know exactly what I'm talking about. If you make a set yourself, homemade, of Mandalorian armor, and you call yourself a Mandalorian, everyone in the Star Wars fandom will jump at the opportunity to tell you every single place in your homemade armor that you didn't follow Mandalorian culture. This is wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, you did that wrong, that's not right, blah, 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 you're not a Mandalorian, you're faking it. Well, I've heard those conversations, it's great. Like, it's made out of plastic, bro, like, calm down. But that doesn't happen here. That doesn't happen here. It happens kind of, going back to the Dutch Angel Dragon. Like, if you're like, I'm a Dutch Angel Dragon, but this is different about me, they're going to say, like, well, that's not really a Dutch Angel Dragon. So it happens to an extent. But if you're like, well, I'm a cat furry, but I want to have a wolf tail, you know who's going to tell you you're not allowed to do that? Weirdos. People that we think are weird. No one will tell you that's not cool. You know? You're gonna be like, I'm a tiger, but I'm green and my stripes are purple. No one's gonna be like, well, real tigers are supposed to be orange with black stripes, so that's not quite right. You, like, it's crazy because in furry you can be anything you want to be and no one will tell you that you're wrong unless you're a racist or a bigot.
Well, we will very much tell you that you are wrong. Very clearly.
Absolutely. But being in this fandom, I want to wrap up what I'm saying and then let you guys talk. We've been talking for about 40 minutes. So 40 minutes of us and then 20 minutes of EFES. That seems nice. But I have made, through being in this fandom, some of the most incredible friends of my entire life. Every friend I have, every single friend I have, all of them. There isn't a single friend I have, like true friends, not like work buddies, but like true friends. They're all furries. They're all incredible people. They all, you know, where else are you gonna get some, like, two people who live 500 miles apart where that person is climbing into their car on a Friday night? They're gonna be like, I've had friends do this. Cool, 9 p.m. I just got off work. My car is packed. I'm jumping in. It's 500 miles. I'll be there tomorrow at lunch. Right? Like, I mean, where else are you going to get that? Nowhere. And that's really incredible. I've made the most incredible friends. And I've lost some incredible friends, too. This fandom, you know, if you're here for... If you really want to see where this event, where this fandom shines, just look for when we lose people. I can't speak to personally about a lot of the bigger losses that we've had. The most recent big loss, I think, the most recent one that I noted was Dog Bomb, who is a furry who everybody loved, who we lost to ALS. And the entire fandom, people who had never met this dude in their entire life, were like floored by his loss. And even 2 years ago, we had an individual, a dear friend, on our board of directors take his own life a week before the convention. And 1 week later, still deeply mourning his loss, we all showed up here and we all put on this event to remember him and to honor him. And the outpour of support from people in this fandom who were here was truly incredible. So, in conclusion, for me, it's really a family. It should be called the furry family, not the furry fandom, in my opinion. But what we are is a group of weirdos trying to tell anyone who will listen to us who we are in our hearts, and a group of people who are happy to listen to whatever that is. That's what furry is. And what Furrydelphia is a spot where people like that come together, exchange artwork and ideas, pay people who are way more talented than we are to draw what we look like, commission people to build our costumes for us, and make friends and memories, and do so year after year after year. Not to mention raise money for a dog charity, which everyone should go to the dealer's den and put fistfuls of cash into the bucket at the Bella Reed Pitbull Rescue, by the way.
Gotta save the puppers, right?
Save the puppers.
Yes.
So, yeah, so that's where it is to me. Go ahead.
We're gonna ask everybody to raise their hands here if they wanna talk. I'm just gonna say a closing view, but just have to give some context to Drains. People get in the car on Friday and come down because of love for support and all that. You know, Drain literally, you know, we weren't sure if I was going to make it to this convention, you know, we'll be completely honest. I'm immunocompromised, And Drain and I think we're on the phone every day leading up to the convention after I spoke to my doctor trying to make a plan. And we bent over backwards and came up with a policy that worked for us to get me here. But it was my love for Drain and for this convention and for putting this on to give everybody a space that ultimately made us put in all that effort to find a way to make this safe for everybody. And Drain, literally, I called Drain, I think, on Friday. I'm like, all right, I'm coming. And Drain's like, cool, I'll see you when you get here. And Drain got the room set up, and it was just nuts. But Drain's probably one of three people on the planet that he could call me, and I live, you know, 200-some miles away. He could call me in a moment's notice, not give me an explanation, say, I need you to show up, and I'd be there in a heartbeat. And that's really what I think defines the fandom, is that you will do anything for your friends and family in this furry fandom, and that's what makes it so great. Alright, so try to keep to like a minute, 2 minutes for talking, and I'm gonna try to get to as many people as I can. We're gonna go hands raised and we'll walk around.
I also wanna add real quick that Ultra and I are the only ones allowed to ramble. Please try to be concise, because we want to get as many people as possible. If you start rambling, we will interrupt you.
And we'll interrupt you. Ultra is nice and sweet and plays good cop.
I will be the bad cop. I will say, thank you, let's hear from somebody else.
Okay, you had a bunch of questions before about everybody feeling bullied or different or whatever. How many people here had some sort of connection to animals, anthropomorphic creatures or real animals, but some sort of emotional connection before you heard there was anything, something called furry fandom? Because, yeah, that's something I've noticed. I've talked to a lot of people about that, and that has happened. You went to a con and you were like this, DJ. Did you have that connection? Or did you say, okay, you did already. It wasn't just, oh, this is cool, I want to join in.
Complicated. So, yeah. I was animally inclined, but I wasn't. I had dated three furries prior to AnthroCon and was very furry adjacent, but had never gone. And it wasn't until I went.
You had some cats up there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing I want to say, I wrote Furry Nation, and when the Sexy Beasts came along, a couple outlets called got in touch with me for my opinion about that show and its relation to furry. One of them called me a prominent spokesperson for the community, and I got right back on and said, no, I am not a quote prominent spokesperson. Nobody appointed me to speak for furry. And that's exactly what the point you were making before. So yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to hog the time from other people.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for that.
You got it. You're welcome.
I also have something I want to say regarding that bullying question. This is going to be really hard for me to say, so could you please not judge me about this? I was raped in high school, and that still traumatizes me even today. And I'm so glad that the furry fandom is a place that's accepting like that. That's accepting, and I actually first created the character that would become my Sona. I first created Tila, or as I like to say, he and I met, when I was in the middle of a job training program that I was extremely miserable at, and so Tila kind of became my way to escape, and eventually I realized that, what he was to me, he's a part of me, I'm a part of him, is that not the definition of a persona? And so he is, my cat persona. Sometimes he's Caracal, sometimes he's Nick Mimi. And I think now I'm starting to ramble, but I've been a furry for a few years now. I actually am one of the administrators on a small furry Discord, so I think I've gone a long way. And one other thing before I stop, I was in the hospital recently because I was having mental health issues and physical health issues, but mostly mental. And at, at discharge, one of the nurses asked if I had any support people. And you know what I said? Yep. And although the nurses misspelled the word persona, but yeah. So I just like to say thank you to everyone here for helping keep me sane, especially during this pandemic. You know, helping me deal with loss of my mate of 3 years. Unfortunately, we broke up while I was in the hospital. But just thank you for being so accepting. Not just everyone here in this room, but pretty much everyone in the entire fandom that I've met. So thank you.
Thank you for having the courage to share. Please speak very loudly.
Hello, I'm Andrew Fenbit. For me, the furry community really gave me a place to explore who I was. I think I started back when I was like 13, I'm now 28. You know, started in chat rooms, you know, just, you know, the exploring who I am, went through several different characters till I arrived at this one. And this one's a little more permanent. Basically just helped me discover who I am and be more comfortable accepting and happy with who I am.
Thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm Badan, my son is a deer, and I'm a new furry, and this is my first furry convention. So I came to this panel because I was curious, what the community's opinion about what furry was, because I'm still in that stage where I'm exploring what furry means, and know what everyone else thinks of it, and I've kind of come to the conclusion as I've gotten more and more used to the furry community and gotten more fur friends that furry is absolutely what you make of it, and I'm glad that I came to this panel and I heard lots of dissenting opinions on that, and while I've only been a fur for like 7 or 8 months now, I have made tons of new friends that are so friendly, so accepting. Friends that I've never met. I've never met people who have been so open and friendly and accepting. And I've already had great, wonderful memories that I will treasure for the rest of my life. So, furry is great.
Buckle up, it's going to be Friday.
Okay. My name's now Drew, at least the one on my badge. And at other conventions, people have asked, well, what do you like best about coming to conventions? And I usually say, I like being around normal people. At which they laugh, and then say, okay, that's reasonable. But I think the furry conventions, everybody is sort of accepted, unless they're trying to be highly objectionable. I got into furry fandom a little bit because I have an Amiga computer. And if any of you are familiar with the name Eric Schwartz, you will understand how that got me knowledgeable about furries. I'll make one more thing, the last thing. I told my father that I was going to a couple of furry conventions. I said, but don't worry about what you hear, nothing really happens. And his response was, I trust you, that's fine. As long as it isn't a VFW convention, because I know what happens at those.
So this isn't my main persona, but my main persona is a rat. He's got rabies, and I decided to make him a little a bit of, like, I wanted to help him promote the project for rabies. I didn't ask for any help, but I wanted to do it. So, but I came into the furry fandom a while back. I think I started out, I was like, ew, they're kind of gross. But I also
You were right.
Yeah, I'm still pretty stinky. I remember thinking, but wouldn't it be cool to just have a fursuit in my closet? And I ended up becoming a furry and denying it at first. It's been really fun, and I just had a great time and met a lot of great people. So thank you for everything, everybody.
Getting my workout in today.
Oh yeah, that's a good thing, right?
Only today.
Oh, you can hear me, okay?
It's Friday. We got two more days.
I'm Anthony Kuhn, and I've been going to conventions since 1997. Also, I've been a college radio DJ since 1981. And Joe wrote about me briefly in his book, Furry Nation, available in audiobook as well. And so I do things like expose interesting independent music, and I'll play things like Foxes and Peppers. And I'll talk about, well, I'm going to this convention, that convention. See, I like the performing arts. Think of all the things we've got. Art, writing, comedy, puppetry, fursuits, there's competitions. Think of all the fun we're going to have in the next few days. That is what's so great about furry. And again, we're so kind and we're so tolerant. We have a blast. And everyone thinks, oh, you guys are nerds. Oh, da, da. Oh, you furries.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm proud to be a furry. I'm going to be 60 years old in February. That's and right. I'm proud to be a furry. And see me at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. I've got a panel. Yeah.
Can I just throw one thing really quick?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. When I asked before how many people have an affinity connection to animals, anthro, whatever, almost everyone raised their hands. We created ourselves.
Yes.
Just, we merged like rocks coming together and forming planet Earth. And what you were saying about we don't do this, we're not doing Star Wars or Harry Potter or anything, we created ourselves. And any kind of interest in anthro animals just pulled us all together and we created this community. We're not worshiping George Lucas or Gene Roddenberry, any of those people. We are self-created. Just wanted to throw that in.
We are fans of ourselves.
Got time for a couple more, I think, Drain.
Whoops.
Hi. I'm Solstice. This is my persona. She is a yellow and black wyvern. I feel like for a lot of people, their fursona is a way to like escape their current reality. A lot of the times, they'll make their fursona what their body isn't. So many people in the furry fandom, I feel like they have a lot of like self-image issues. So that's another good part about this community. It is so widely accepting. No matter if you're tall, short, like a little bit bigger or smaller, you are accepted, you are valid, you are welcome in here any day, anytime.
You want to know a secret? Every single human being on planet Earth has self-image issues. Every single one, and anyone who says they don't is lying.
We're selling
something. That's a form of lying.
Fair enough.
Hi everyone, I'm Stelka the Stallion. Forgive me, I'm just gonna make a random pun, a really lame pun. Philadelphia is the city of furly love.
Yeah. Valley Furge.
All right, Jane. Do you have anybody else? Go one more. Okay. I think we're
here. We got 5 minutes until our time is up.
Alright, so my name is James, also go by Teasel. I'm trying to make this quick and explain everything quickly, which is lost backwards, because I've always kind of had a sense of wanderlust. I'm trying to hit all the things I wanted to say. As far as the fandom being self-made, I really recommend everybody watch the documentary on YouTube, The Fandom. It really explains the intersection of how everybody met, and then they're like, hey, I'm interested in that too, and I'm interested in that too. And that really drives that point home. I met my wife of 4+ years through the fandom. And the preface is you don't need a fursuit to be a furry. Not everyone always gets one. But as far as like self-image and accepting who oneself is, I remember years, I've been a furry since I was 16, I'm 32. So half my life, literally. And I remember always wanting a fursuit, and I've always had like the main fursona that I am. It's the only one I have, it's the orange and green striped tiger. And literally having dreams for years about getting a fursuit, and I wanted the digitigrade legs. And I remember when I finally got my head and then my body and everything came together and I put it on and I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, this is the ultimate form of self-expression and acceptance. And it just was like mind-blowing to see how I see myself in real life. It's like when you're a kid and you see like a cartoon character or a TV show person that you idolize, and like when, you know, I was a kid, I wanted to be a Power Ranger. This was like for me as an adult becoming that character that you always fantasize about being in real life, and it was just great. That's all.
We have 3 minutes left.
All right, I'll take about maybe half of that. To answer the question, what is a furry? I think it's someone who is friendly and accepting. This is also my first con, and I don't know anyone here, going into completely blind, and I've already had a 40-minute conversation about fursuit engineering because I complimented someone's socks. And I think that's really what it's all about. It's the people you meet, and it's just the friendly and accepting nature of it is what means so much to me. But yeah.
If enough time for one more quick comment.
We got time.
Okay, the things that turn people into furries aren't a furry for one generation. It was Disney's Robin Hood. I think Zootopia is one. And my prediction is a lot of kids now, 6, 8, 10, watching Paw Patrol, that's going to be the next generation.
Jay, do you want to wrap up closing remarks?
Yeah, I don't really have much else to say. I just want to thank everybody for coming here. I want to thank you for your participation and for listening to me and for listening to Ultra and for listening to all of us. Again, if you see panel, the one other thing I will say, if you see panels like this, What is Furry, at other conventions, or if you come to this convention in the future and you see the panel, What is Furry? I will say that that question can be answered infinite ways by infinite people. It's highly worth going to everyone you can. Yep. Everyone will have different stuff to say. I'm not a spokesperson for the fandom. So please keep participating in that conversation. And... thank you, and I hope that you guys enjoy the rest of the event and that we see you again next year.
Yeah, all right.
Tomorrow.
Yep.